Citizen Justices of the Supreme Court of Ohio. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now in open session pursuant to adjournment.
You may be seated. Good morning. Our first case is 2015-575, New York Frozen Foods Incorporated and Affiliates et al. Versus Bedford Heights Income Tax Board of Review and the City of Bedford Heights Income Tax Administrator et al. For the appellant, Mr. Hall.
Chief Justice O'Connor, and may it please the court, my name is Steve Hall. I represent the taxpayers in this case. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes of my time for rebuttal. There are no facts in dispute in this case. The city refuses to repay the tax that my clients overpaid. They refuse it for one reason only, because the taxpayer filed a consolidated return on an amended basis as opposed to an original return. That decision is erroneous and unlawful, and this court should demand the city return the tax that was overpaid. This court could independently find in favor of the taxpayers on any one of three independent bases. Number one, the Bedford Heights ordinances expressly allow consolidated returns. They expressly allow amended returns. They do not deny amended returns on a consolidated basis. Number two, RITA.
Is there any restriction on changing your status to a consolidated basis at a later time and then requiring a tax refund? Any prohibition against that?
Not in the Bedford Heights ordinance. There is not.
Is there in any other place?
There is not in Ohio Revised Code Section 718.06, no. Number two, RITA, the Regional Income Tax Agency, is not a legislature. The legislative power under the Bedford Heights Charter is vested in the City Council of Bedford Heights. RITA may not change the law in Bedford Heights. Bedford Heights City Council does that. Number three, Ohio Revised Code Section 718.06 is an express limitation or restriction such that all Ohio's taxing municipalities must allow consolidated returns. It contains no conditions. The only condition in 718.06 is that this group that files a consolidated return must be the same group that filed a federal consolidated return.
Well, so this is quite similar then to filing married but filing separately and then changing your status and saying, well, we want to refile jointly, and by the way, we'd like a refund for the way we filed.
There's a parallel there, yes, sir.
Well, that's prohibited by the federal. Can't do that, is what I'm saying.
That may be true, but 718.06 does not say that, nor does the Bedford
Heights
ordinance.
Where is the allowance that you can change your filing status for refund purposes or amended return purposes?
It's the Bedford Heights ordinances, there are two provisions.
And what's those, which ones are you speaking about?
173.14 and 173.15.
And those provide?
173.14 says I can file a consolidated return if I file the same way as the group for federal purposes. And 173.15 says you can file amended returns. And it contains only two.
Was the federal return then also amended?
It was not.
Okay, so the filing was pursuant to the federal status, but the amended return was not filed pursuant to the federal status.
The taxpayer filed a consolidated return under the Internal Revenue Code on an original return because the federal statute requires an original return. The Bedford Heights ordinance does not require it to be filed on an original return. They filed it on an amended return after they became aware of the ability to do that.
Why did they file it the other way first? What was the reason?
They filed the original return as a single taxpayer because they were not aware of the ability to file on a consolidated basis either in the Bedford Heights ordinances or in the Ohio Revised Code Section 718.06.
But why wouldn't they be aware of that? I mean, the council didn't suddenly change the ordinance.
I don't know why they weren't aware of it, but perhaps 71806 enactment.
Wasn't it more work to do it that way? If they're doing their federal return on a consolidated basis to split it out in the Bedford filing?
It may have been more work, Your Honor, but they thought that's how they had to do it. So when they became aware that they were permitted to file on a consolidated basis, they filed an amended return.
So becoming aware simply requires you to read the ordinance. So what, they go get the forms and they file it one way without reading the ordinance, and then they read the ordinance?
It's a permissible thing. It's not a required thing. They're allowed to file separately as well, which is what they did. Filing separately required them to pay more tax. Consolidated returns are actually a preferred method in multi-jurisdictional taxation, multi-state tax purposes, multi-city tax purposes, because it looks at the group as an economic unit. It understands the symbiotic relationship among the divisions of the group. In other words, a corporation that has multiple divisions is not earning income.
I'm unfamiliar with symbiotic relationships when it comes to tax law. Where do you find that in the code?
It's a concept from multi-state taxation that income is apportionable, meaning it's not earned in one particular location. If you've got a parent corporation with subsidiary corporations and they all work together, economies of scale, functional integration, and the like.
So what did the taxpayer have going on in this jurisdiction?
They have a manufacturing facility in Bedford Heights that employs hundreds of people. They pay lots of payroll tax there. They make frozen bread in Bedford Heights. They have food operations in other cities and other states. But they file as a group federally, and that recognizes.
So is the Bedford Heights operation a separate corporation?
Yes, it is. It's a subsidiary corporation, yes.
Right. And that subsidiary doesn't have operations anywhere else except Bedford Heights?
The subsidiary has operations in several locations, I believe, but the group as a whole has locations, for example, in Columbus, in Grove City, in other states, Alabama, Kentucky.
You mean
California.
The parent?
The group, yes.
Okay, but the subsidiary that's in Bedford Heights, does it exist anywhere else?
I believe it does, yes.
You don't know?
I don't know.
So, Mr. Hall, if I look at 173.14, it says, in part, any affiliated group which files a consolidated return for federal purposes under the IRS may file a consolidated return with the city. However, once the affiliated group has elected to file a consolidated or a separate return with the city, that group may not change their method in any subsequent tax year without the written approval of the administrator. Was there a written approval of the administrator here?
Your Honor, the Board of Tax Appeals, the tax administrator, the local Board of Tax Appeals, and the Ohio Board of Tax Appeals did not consider this provision because it was not raised
until
recently.
Did not what?
Did not consider this section of the
provision. I was trying to respond to the indication you provided by saying that the allowance for your procedure was 173.14, and I'm reading it. And it seems to have a clause in it that says the administrator must approve of this change for a subsequent return, and I'm asking whether it was done.
This, we're talking about amended return. That deals with changing from tax year to tax year. That's a subsequent tax year. And if that means what the city and Rita says it means, then what would Rita's amendment in Section 506A in 2009 have meant? It would have meant nothing. To answer your question, that does not prohibit an amended return. That talks of changing from tax year to tax year.
What about a change in the method of accounting, though?
Method of accounting relates to cash versus accrual. They did not change that. That's
but we're
not
talking
an issue.
We're talking about taxes that were paid from 2005 to 2007 to the tune of almost $700,000, right?
Yes.
And it was in 2010 that you attempted to get a refund of that tax money that was already accepted by Bedford Heights and presumably spent by Bedford Heights.
That's correct. All taxing agencies face this issue of having to refund taxes that are overpaid. If they're erroneously overpaid, they
but it, was it erroneous? That's the thing. It seems as though, okay, you did it, you made a choice back in 2005 to 7 that this was how you were going to pay your taxes. And then in 2010, due to whatever, you know, reason, more beneficial for your client, you decided to file the consolidated returns. But, you know, the equities here seem a little of concern.
Well, we certainly understand the financial situation, but again, every taxing agency faces that. There are statute of limitations for both sides. Statute of limitations for the government to assess, statute of limitations for taxpayers to amend their return. They made an error, and they corrected the error by filing as a group. Nothing in Bedford Heights ordinances deny it. Nothing in 71806 denies it.
But when you say an error, there was really no error in the filing originally, because that was a choice, correct? It was an appropriate choice. It wasn't as if they were prohibited from doing something, and now you're correcting an error.
I guess it depends on the definition of an error. If I file a tax return and accidentally include intangible income, which as an example, cities cannot, as a general rule, tax intangible income. If I file a city return and include intangible income, and then 2 years later figure, oh, I shouldn't have paid that, let me file a refund claim, that was an error, but it results in a refund. It's kind
of. But under no circumstances would that inclusion of that asset be appropriate to be taxed under your scenario. In your situation, the consolidated versus the non-consolidated, both are legal. Both are acceptable, and it is a judgment call or a choice by the taxpayer, a choice that's afforded to the taxpayer, correct?
That's correct.
So your accountant or your internal financial people or whomever made this call for the company gave you some bad advice, but I don't know that I would consider it an error that needs to be corrected.
That's a fair statement. I mean, prior to the enactment of 71806 in 2003, several cities would say, we're not going to allow you to file on a consolidated basis in our city. We're going to force you to isolate income in the city because they get to tax it if there's income. 71806 passed in 2000, effective for 2003, made more people aware of this provision. And so tax practitioners and companies became aware, wow, 71806 says they have to allow this. They can't deny it anymore like they tried to deny it in the past. So,
well, your definition of error is certainly one that top management would have had concerning their employees or contractors who made a decision that cost them money. So internally to the corporation, there's probably a lot of discussion about who messed up. But in terms, as both the Chief and Justice Lansinger pointed out, isn't what anybody on the outside would consider an error. It was a choice. My question is, how much of a tax bite was left for the corporation under their proposed change to a consolidated return?
Sure. The 3-year cumulative tax originally filed was about $780,000. The amended amount for the 3-year period is about $90,000 for those 3 years. But remember, they're paying taxes in other Ohio jurisdictions. They're paying payroll taxes
they pay payroll taxes, but really the employees pay that.
That's correct.
And so we don't really know when you mix this all together what the tax bite is. I mean, you know, you read the papers, we all do. Some of the biggest corporations in America manage to pay almost no federal tax because of the various maneuvers that are legal under the law.
I guess the question is did they follow the ordinance? And they did. They were allowed to file an amended return. They were allowed to file a consolidated return. No provision of Bedford Heights ordinance prohibits it. Rita
so the bite under what you've proposed would be, what, 10-15% of what it originally paid?
Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
Counsel, I'm not sure I understand your last answer to Justice Pfeiffer. You said there's no ordinance that prohibits what happened here, but I'm not sure I understood your answer to Justice O'Donnell when we're discussing 173.14A clearly requires approval of the administrator. So this is in violation of that ordinance, is it not?
Your Honor, that is to change from year to year, not to amend a return. If you compare Ohio Revised Code Section 5733.052, which is the Ohio Franchise Tax Statute, it expressly states you have to file on an original timely filed return and you may not amend. This, in comparison, does not state that.
Well, it just seems to me, though, if you filed in 2005 by one method, and then you're asking for an amendment of 2006. That's subsequent to 2005, isn't it?
It is, but again, if you compare how they could have written it to say you cannot amend a return, this, and by the way, that would frustrate 71806. If the purpose of 71806 was to say, look, all Ohio cities shall accept consolidated returns. If a city could say, well, you need to ask my permission from me to change it, that would allow every city to deny every taxpayer to change in a year prior to when 71806 came into effect. So if I'm a taxpayer in City A and I file separately in 2002, then 71806 comes into effect. I say, okay, I'm gonna file consolidated in City A in 2003. The city could deny that based on, you know, this theory and the city's theory, which would entirely frustrate the purpose.
Mr. Hall, before you sit down, the rules of the Board of Tax Appeals Administrative Code provide that a motion to reconsider will not enlarge the period of time under which an appeal can be taken from that board. Now, the original order was issued on March 9th, and New York Frozen Foods moved to reconsider that decision on March 18th. But the notice of appeal filed here was not filed until April 10, 32 days after the March 9th decision. Why is your appeal not dismissible as being untimely?
Sure. The motion for reconsideration asked the Board of Tax Appeals to look at its decision again. It was confusing.
That motion does not stay the time for filing the notice of appeal.
The Board of Tax Appeals vacated the original decision and issued a new, substantively different opinion where they agreed with us on a position.
I believe it's substantially the same decision, isn't it?
I do not believe it's the same because they changed the word disagree to agree. There could be no more fundamental change than to disagree and then to agree. and the Board of Tax, Ayers says that if the Board of Tax Appeals within the original 30 days vacates its decision and issues a new decision, that begins the time period over.
I understand your position. I'm not sure I agree with it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Stringer?
Thank you, Chief Justice O'Connor, and may it please the court. Anthony Stringer on behalf of the City of Bedford Heights. I will be splitting my time with the Amicus Regional Income Tax Agency. I will use 12 minutes of my time, and the counsel for the Amicus will use 3 minutes. This is a case of taxpayer remorse. For the tax years 2005, 2006, and 2007, the appellants filed their federal tax returns on a consolidated basis as one economic unit. And they did that so that they could apportion losses and profits amongst a group to reduce their net taxable income and save tax dollars. For those same years, the appellants also had the option under Ohio municipal tax law to file on a consolidated basis with Bedford Heights, and they chose not to do that. Now, I don't know why they made that decision. Council has said that they made the decision because they were unaware of their ability to file on a consolidated basis with Bedford Heights. I'm not sure I understand why they were unaware of it, because it was existing law at the time.
Council, it just occurs to me as this argument's unfolding, do we know or have any ability to know if they filed a separate return for the enterprise located in Bedford Heights? Did they do that across the corporation in other jurisdictions? So if they did it individually other places, while they paid a lot of tax to Bedford Heights, arguably they were paying no tax because they must have had in the parent corporation a lot of losses somewhere. So is that part of what we're being asked to do, is go back and let the go to the consolidated, because that wipes out most of the tax in your jurisdiction for your client, but we don't know what they're doing in other jurisdictions, or do we?
We don't know, Your Honor.
So conceivably, they could file consolidated in Bedford Heights, where the frozen bread is making them a lot of money, and other operations across the country that were losing money, they still say file individual returns for those enterprises. Could that have be what's happened here?
Again, I can't answer that question with respect to how the other affiliate companies filed the tax returns during those years. All I know is that Bedford Heights right now, as a result of their decision to not file on a consolidated basis, is looking at a refund of nearly $700,000 plus interest. And I will submit to this court that if Bedford Heights was ordered to pay that refund, it would financially cripple the city.
Well, but we can't decide tax cases because it creates a hardship. This is an area where there's either a right or a wrong, and if you guys are wrong, it's going to be hard, but you're going to have to live with it.
I understand that, Your Honor. Municipalities under Ohio law are required to balance their budgets. They can't run deficits. In order to balance their budgets, they set annual operating and revenue budgets that are based primarily on estimated tax revenues.
Yeah, but we know the hardship that could befall. The question is, do you have the right to say you can't file an amended return that uses the consolidated approach? And if you do, can you require them to get your permission to do that in succeeding years? So, because that's what the ordinance seems to say, is you could stop them forever from doing this, even though the legislature has now said you can do it.
There are municipalities, including Bedford Heights, impose restrictions on the filing of amended returns. And those restrictions typically relate to the method of accounting, the apportionment of net profits, and the method of filing. And those restrictions are in place so that municipalities can accurately set budgets and rely upon the tax returns that corporations within their city file.
Are you contending that the method of accounting or the manner of apportioning net profits is at issue in this case or not?
Yes, we are, Your Honor.
What is your view on that subject?
Our view is that this was not just a change in the method of filing from single to consolidated, but it was also a change in the method of accounting and apportionment of net profits, because you don't get to a $700,000 refund by simply changing the way you file your taxes. There's an underlying accounting change that gets you from zero to $700,000. And here's how it works. What they did by filing on a consolidated basis is they take all the profits and losses amongst the affiliated group members and they reapportion them so they can use losses.
So your argument
to
is
profits.
That this is a reapportionment of net profits.
Yes, Your
That's
Honor.
Your exactly. strongest argument.
That's our strongest argument, yes.
Well, the ordinance was amended in 2009, was it not? and it indicates that a taxpayer may not change the method of accounting, apportionment of profits, nor the method of filing, i.e. single or consolidated, after the due date for the original return. If this change was prohibited, why was it necessary to amend the ordinance?
The ordinance actually was not amended. RITA amended its rule relating to amended returns. So initially, the ordinance has restrictions for changing your method of accounting and your method or your change in the apportionment of net profits.
Okay.
That's in the Bedford Heights ordinance. And then later, RITA changed that rule.
That's the RITA regulation.
That is the RITA regulation, Your Honor.
All right.
And that RITA regulation added change in the method of filing. And counsel for RITA can explain why they did that, but we submit that was done to clarify the intent of that rule.
Well, counsel, well, since you've raised the RITA rule, let's talk about proposition number two and the delegation issue. Your friends on the other side argue that that's an unlawful delegation, that you can't delegate the authority to RITA when really it should be Bedford Heights who's exercising that authority. Can you address that argument?
Yes, first off, on the argument that Bedford Heights unconstitutionally delegated legislative authority by incorporating future amendments to RITA. At the outset, there are two well-settled principles that work against the appellant's position. First, under Ohio law, statutes enjoy a strong presumption of constitutionality. Second, doubts regarding the validity of a legislative enactment are to be resolved in favor of the statute. So that works against that constitutional argument at the outset. In addition, non-delegation challenges rarely succeed in both federal and Ohio state courts. And this court, in the Blue Cross versus Ratchford case, 1980 case, stated, quote, "The establishment of standards can be left to the administrative body or officer if it is reasonable for the General Assembly to defer to the officer's or body's expertise." Here, RITA functions as a tax administrator for 256 Ohio municipalities. RITA uses its experience and expertise to administer and collect taxes on behalf of those municipalities. Those municipalities ought to be able to rely on RITA to perform that function. So if RITA amends a rural regulation and there's an ordinance that incorporates that amendment, it ought to be constitutional. Otherwise, municipalities would have to, I suppose, enact legislation every time that RITA decides to amend a rural regulation. And that's not a practical or efficient use of municipalities' resources.
But you have the discretion to do that, right? I mean, the city could do that. It could choose to take part or all of what RITA's doing, correct?
The city has a discretion to later enact legislation that incorporates amendments made to RITA rules and regulations, yes. But they also, we submit, can do it constitutionally by simply incorporating those future rules and amendments in one ordinance without having to enact new legislation every time RITA amends a rule or regulation. And in terms of the case law on this issue, the Gill case, which the appellants rely heavily on, actually favor our position on this issue. In Gill, this court actually rejected the non-delegation challenge and upheld the constitutionality of the subject statute. And in that case, the court even went further to say that the General Assembly knows how to incorporate future amendments by simply saying now or hereafter amended.
But was the issue there whether it was unconstitutional or not, or whether it had been done? Here, we have no doubt that it was done.
Yeah, that case involved federal Stamp Act law, and the issue was whether the subject Ohio statute was unconstitutional because of the words as amended. That, in other words, it was as amended being applied. That was a constitutionality issue in that case, and it was upheld by the court. The other constitutional issue I'll briefly address is the preemption issue. The appellants submit or maintain that Ohio Revised Code 718.06 requires Bedford Heights to accept these amended returns. If you look at 718.06, it does not expressly preempt
Bedford Heights power of taxation. It says a consolidated income tax return. And this court in the Panther II transportation case, which was decided in 2014, stated that the General Assembly knew how to broadly preempt an area of taxation by using expansive terms. If you look at the Panther II case, which is discussed in their briefing, that statute uses words like all. It uses words like taxes or other money exactions. The statute also refers to it being illegal or superseded. So the Panther II case shows the type of language that the General Assembly knows, you know, what to use in order to broadly preempt an area of taxation. We don't have that language in this case. 718.06 simply states a consolidated income tax return. It doesn't say any consolidated income tax. It doesn't say all consolidated income tax returns. And in our briefing, we mentioned the United States Supreme Court case of Badaracco. In that case, the United States Supreme Court recognized that original returns and amended returns are entirely different creatures. In that case, the United States Supreme Court referred to amended returns as a creature of administrative origin and grace. And that case is very similar to what we have here in 718.06. The statute in that case referred to a fraud or fraudulent return.
I'm always fascinated by words that end up in opinions, and I don't understand what you just read to us. Administrative origin and grace. What does grace mean?
A creature of administrative origin and grace mean that the United States Supreme Court looked at the Internal Revenue Code and the history of United States tax law and said people are obligated to file original returns.
And so we consider the Internal Revenue Code a creature of grace?
No, the court was referring to the amended return as a creature of administrative origin and grace because there's no obligation to file amended returns.
Okay.
There's no obligation to allow them to follow amended returns, and that's the grace of the court to allow that to happen.
Yes.
In other words, it could be a drop dead rule. You filed it, you paid it, no recourse. Mm-hmm. But they've built in a recourse. That's what you mean, right?
That's what I mean, Your Honor. That's correct.
Would you agree with counsel that this was an error that they are correcting? That's what I heard. I heard counsel say that the amendment was to correct an error.
No, we do not consider this an error. We consider this a decision that was made by whomever, whether an outside accountant or someone internal to that company, but it was a filing decision that was made. No, we don't consider it an error. At this point, I have about a minute left. I will defer the balance of my time to the amicus. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. Ms. Riggi?
Thank you. Chief Justice O'Connor, may it please the court, my name is Amy Riggi. I am counsel for Amicus Curiae Regional Income Tax Agency, or more commonly referred to as RITA. RITA has been administering municipal income tax in Ohio for 45 years. It was formed as a council of governments back in 1971 by 31 municipalities. It was formed for the purpose of fostering cooperation between those municipalities and for collectively administering the income tax ordinances of the participants in that regional council of governments and any participants that would come subsequent to that formation. Today, as counsel for Bedford Heights mentioned, RITA administers municipal income tax for 256.
So, counsel, RITA is a agency for the convenience of the collection of taxes for the administrative role, the substitute for the administrative role of your, did you say 31 entities that belong to it?
Your Honor, it began with 31 entities. Today we serve in the role that you suggested for 256.
Okay, and you are the administrative entity for those municipalities, correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
And do you create substantive law, or are you just concerned with administrative and procedural matters?
Your Honor, the agency is concerned with administrative and procedural matters. In its role as income tax administrator for its 256 member municipalities, it promulgates rules and regulations for the uniform and orderly administration of the municipal income tax ordinances.
But you're governed by... in other words, you don't take precedent, though, over the 250 municipal codes and their treatment for their city income tax.
No, Your Honor. The municipal's income tax ordinance is ultimately controlling if there is a conflict between the municipality's ordinance and the administrative rules and regulations.
But, Council, if a city cedes to RITA all of its discretionary authority for changing rules, isn't that exactly giving, isn't that exactly what it's doing? And giving RITA the power over what the city has for its own rules and regulations?
No, Your Honor. In the ordinance, in Bedford Heights Ordinance 173.56, where it adopts the RITA rules and regulations, it clearly indicates that any rules and regulations or ordinances adopted by the City of Bedford Heights that would be in conflict would control over any administrative rules of RITA, and therefore the municipality retains the ultimate control or the final say in those matters.
But here, don't we have a conflict about the filing of a consolidated return?
No, Your Honor. I don't believe that there is a conflict between the two provisions in the Bedford Heights Ordinance and the RITA Rules and Regulations. The Bedford Heights Ordinance does not permit what the RITA Rules and Regulations prohibit. So there is not a conflict present between these two items. In addition, we agree with appellants also that the change that the taxpayer is trying to make also amounts to a change in the method of apportionment. So there, that also is covered in both the Bedford Heights Ordinance and the RITA Rules and Regulations. The rules and regulations are important administrative tools. They provide explanation, instruction, illustration, direction for the orderly, consistent, and uniform administration of municipal income tax ordinances. They're important for municipal taxpayers as well as municipalities themselves who rely on that consistent and orderly administration of their income tax to fund their budgets and provide services to their constituents. It's completely reasonable and appropriate for the City of Bedford Heights and all of RITA's member municipalities to defer to RITA's expertise and experience in matters of administration of their municipal income tax ordinance, because they do retain that important role, which they are the legislators. RITA rules and regulations do not and cannot create tax law. They don't impose tax. They don't exempt items from tax. They don't change, reduce, or modify credits. They're administrative tools, and it's appropriate for Bedford Heights to defer to RITA's experience to create those rules and regulations.
If there's an amended return filed, where is that filed?
The amended return is filed with RITA as the administrator for the City of Bedford Heights, Your
Honor. Okay, and then RITA reviews it and makes a determination?
Yes, Your Honor.
And where does Bedford Heights fall into that continuum?
The City of Bedford Heights, each member that joins the Regional Council of Governments, while they grant income tax administration authority to RITA, they also retain for themselves the ability to coincidentally administer their income tax ordinances while they're a part of the Regional Council of Governments. Once RITA has made a determination that the filing is inappropriate, the matter then is deferred. The taxpayer is provided with appellate rights. They're notified that they have the right to appeal RITA's ruling as the tax administrator to the city's local income tax board of review, which was done here.
So RITA is only the preliminary step on the stairway to a successful appeal or an unsuccessful appeal.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Counsel, you've used your time, but you may have a minute.
Thank you, Your Honor. 173.15 says tax overpaid can be refunded as well. The appellees entirely misstate Gill. Gill was decided because it said as amended, not it would have been decided differently. It said as amended or hereinafter amended. Rita makes a circular argument when they say the Bedford Heights ordinances control in the event of a conflict, and that's why their regulation doesn't apply. If that's the case, their regulation would not apply.
But the method of allocation changed, correct? When you went from consolidated to individual or individual to consolidated, you have to change the method of allocation in order to file those returns differently, do you not?
No, Your Honor. The methods of apportionment are separate books and records or three-factor formula. Bedford Heights Ordinance 173.05 points out that distinction. It uses the word, if the books and records will be the method of apportionment, you have to do this, that, and the other thing. We're talking about two methods, separate books and records, completely different concept than a consolidated return, versus the three-factor formula like the Ohio franchise tax. So no, did not. 718.06 doesn't say original return. It doesn't say amended return. It says you can file that way if you file that way federally. That's the only condition. When my opponents say that in the Internal Revenue Code, amended returns are a matter of administrative grace, but they're not in Bedford Heights and they're not in Ohio Revised Code, they both expressly allow amended returns.
So when you opted over to the consolidated, does that mean that you were across the nation in all local jurisdictions using a consolidated return, or were you just using that in the Bedford Heights where the corporation made a lot of money, or were you doing that everywhere?
Your Honor, there's nothing in the record about that, but to answer your question, they filed as a consolidated group in all states that they were in. They filed amended consolidated returns in the other Ohio cities where they had initially filed separately. This concept of losses is not the issue here. They had income in every year. The issue is the apportionment to allow the taxation of a multi-jurisdictional concept of taxation to apportion the income across all the taxing jurisdictions.
So nationally, they filed individual entity returns everywhere to begin with, and then they amended them all?
No, I'm sorry. Sorry, I misunderstood. No, they originally filed consolidated returns in all the states where they file.
Except in Bedford.
Well, that was a city, but
or
correct.
The city, yes. Okay. Yes. But all cities that they're involved with?
No, they filed in Ohio cities where they had nexus to be taxed. They originally filed separately in all those cities. They then, and again, nothing in the record about this, but they then amended and filed consolidated returns in Bedford as well as in other Ohio cities where they initially paid separately.
And what about across the rest of the nation in those municipalities?
They had originally filed consolidated there, so they didn't have to change anything.
So only in Ohio are they experiencing this problem?
Well, Ohio is very, yes, Your Honor. Ohio is pretty unique in that there are more than 500 local taxing jurisdictions. Most states don't have that. Most states, there's only about 9 or 10 states that even have municipal income taxes. Several of those are only on in the big cities. Several of those are not on businesses. They're only on wages of individuals and the like. The reason that this is a concern or important to the General Assembly is businesses need uniformity, simplicity to be able to file as a consolidated group in all the Ohio cities where they have nexus. This is not an issue about losses. It's an issue about properly measuring the income attributable to any particular city.
And nobody is, I think, prospectively saying you cannot file consolidated returns, are they?
Well, Bedford Heights is saying, again, didn't raise it for 4 or 5 years into the controversy, but now they're saying that, well, you didn't get permission to change, but again, that's to change for a subsequent year. If that's valid, 718.06 is entirely frustrated.
But that's not before us at this point.
718.06 is before you.
Yeah, but I mean,
permission.
The permission issue is not in front of us today.
I would argue it's not in front of you because that's correct, yeah. Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen and ladies. We will take the matter under advisement. You'll be notified of our decision.